But she don't get out of the way with it. But Sonny don't like fun too. But Sonny one time drank a lot himself, you know. All right, I have a problem myself with dizziness. The doctors have never found what it is. I don't know what's nerves, and they can't find anything wrong with my ears. They can't find nothing wrong nowhere. But I have a problem too that by getting dizzy. And I don't drink. I don't drink no liquor at all, no hard stuff. But a lot of time before I go on a stage, like tonight, I'll drink 3 or 4 beers, and I don't get dizzy.
Interesting.
And
it's so depressive.
I wish that I wouldn't like that, but there's no use me sitting here telling you something that I'm not.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a physical anomaly, though. That's not.
I heard Ray Price one night. you know, Ray Price quit for a long time, and I'm part Indian. Earl Scruggs is part Indian. Ron Reno is part Indian. Alan Shelton's part Indian. Me and Alan learned to pick together, and Reno's part Indian. Okay, so is Ray Price. And Ray Price one time, I seen him on TV, and he quit for a while on account of being like that. And it was something about his diet.
Hmm.
You know, if he eat the wrong thing and things of that kind, he would have dizzy spells. And see, sometimes, just like a few months ago, I was out in our building there practicing, and I just fell out, you know, for a few seconds. And my son Mark, who plays mandolin with me, he caught me, and I knocked the bridge around on my banjo and everything. Okay, I don't like to drink when I get on the stage, cause I'm not a drunk or nothing. I just they claim that's one of the finest things the doctors tell me that's one of the finest things you can do to keep from being dizzy.
Yeah, sure.
That or a Valium, you know.
Oh.
And
that'll put you to sleep.
Yeah, but see, a Valium will drag you down where 2 or 3 beers will keep your spirit up and still you won't get dizzy and you can go ahead and do your job right. But I don't like to drink. I hate drinking. Sometimes I dream. In fact, back years ago when I left Bill, we played clubs for 20 years and to make a living, you know. And sometime now I will think about that. I'll dream about it and I'll just hate my own self. But long as I don't drink no hard stuff, I don't drink no liquor or nothing. But when we go on stage, sometimes I'll drink 2 or 3 beers just before we go on to make sure I don't get up there and get embarrassed, you know. Because sometimes around people I don't know, if I get like that, it embarrasses me. And that's not a good feeling.
No.
And but I'm not a drunk, I'm not an alcoholic or nothing like that. But I will take a drink, 2 or 3 beers before I go on stage most of the time, because of the dizziness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've had all kind of tests with my ears, all kind of tests with my heart, all kind of tests with my head, and all they can find wrong with me is my dang nerves.
Hmm.
So I guess that's what it is.
Hmm. you mentioned that you and Alan Shelton learned to play together.
Yeah, me and Alan. Alan was born down around Reidsville, North Carolina, where Alan O'Brien is from.
Oh, yeah.
Which Alan was here last night, and Alan talked a long time. He said next time he come home, he's come to my house. Where he lives and where he's from is not 10 miles from where I live.
Hmm.
All right, one time Alan Shelton and his dad and all of them lived on his uncle's place and farmed their land, you see. So Alan and myself used to swap a lot of licks together. Back, gosh, it might have been awful long time ago.
When he started with Jimmy's Shenandoah Valley Boys, he only knew a couple songs, didn't he?
Well, that's what they claim, but Alan knows. Look here, Alan knows more songs than that. See, I know that, but long before he went with Jimmy's, and they claim now he can play but 2 songs, but that was a bunch of junk. Alan can play a good banjo before he ever went with Jimmy's.
Okay. What I wrote is what was written already.
Yes, sir. I know that.
And then I ran it by Jim Eanes, and he says he didn't just know Cumberland Gap, he knew more than that, but he was just a beginner banjo.
Alan knew a lot of stuff.
He was just still a beginner, though.
See, Alan, yeah, he was a big beginner, but he still knowed like a lot of stuff, like Scruggs played, and well, about 4 or 5 miles from where I lived and where Alan was raised to in Summerfield, North Carolina, there was a dance every Saturday night, and Alan Shelton played it. And by gosh, Harvey Williams, a fiddle player from around that part of the country, which was at one time, say 30 years ago, one of the finest fiddlers in the world. He used to play with the Lubin Brothers and a lot of people. He played fiddle over there with them. And you could go over there and stand outside the door and you couldn't tell it hardly from Platt and Scruggs, man. That's the truth. But that was long before you went with Jim Eanes, but they got a tail out now. That Alan couldn't play nothing but Cumberland Gap and something else before he went with Jim Eanes, but that's not right, because I've known Alan long before then, and me and him swapped licks, and in fact, Alan started picking banjo before I did, and I'm older than he is. I'm 58, and Alan's probably, I'd say, 54, 55 now. So, really, Alan started picking banjo before I did. Now, I picked guitar before then. And Alan is a good guitar picker, too.
I didn't know that. I've never seen that.
His daddy was a good guitar man. One of the finest. But they got all kind of tales out about people.
So when you're talking about learning, then you're talking about just about 1950. And there was Scruggs. There was Hoke.
There was seven of them.
And there was Snuffy. And even Eddie Adcock hadn't really started doing anything at that
time. At the time that I started playing banjo, there were seven banjo players that I know of now.
Jimmy Wisnett was in there, I suppose.
I don't remember Jimmy. The only ones I remember is these people right here. Was Earl Scruggs, Don Reno, Alan Shelton, Sonny Osmond, Hubert Davis.
Oh, yeah. Sonny was about 14.
That's right. Hubert Davis. You remember Hubert?
Yeah, with this family band now.
Yeah, Hubert Davis. And myself.
Davis.
Now, the Jenkins people you're talking about, I remember them too, but they hadn't perfected the kind of banjo picking that we play now. I mean, they played with a three-finger type banjo playing, but they, as far as I'm concerned, I guess Scruggs perfected it, you know.
Yeah.
And then we all probably learned from that. And we took our what we learned from Scruggs and Reno and people of that kind, and then we changed it. Well, we didn't change it, but after you play so long, and you like years back, I used to everything they'd put out, it wouldn't be a week till I'd know how to play it just like they played it. But it didn't take me too long to figure out that wasn't doing me no good. I was helping them, I wasn't helping me, you see. So I decided to, I didn't want to listen to what they'd done. Which it was wonderful, the things they were doing. I made up my own breaks, and I played my own thing. But there's no way, no banjo picker can get through a show unless he hits a Earl Scruggs lick or Reno lick. There's no way in the world. But you can still, I'm a bluesy banjo player. I play a lot of blues. In fact, what bluegrass is fast blues. And I play, my style of banjo is blues playing.
A lot of blues notes in there?
Yes, sir. I play a lot of blues notes. And so I've come up with my own little style of playing. And I don't care how nobody else takes a break on nothing. I don't care how nobody else plays nothing. I play it my way. And because this is the way I see it, if somebody wants Earl Scruggs, they're going to buy Earl Scruggs. If somebody wants to buy Bill Monroe, they're going to buy Bill Monroe. If somebody wants to buy Reno, they're going to buy Reno.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to buy Bobby Atkins, then they can buy Bobby Atkins because he's different now, so. And the good Lord gave me two good talents that I'm awfully thankful. He gave me a talent to sing, and sing right, and he gave me a talent to pick. And I'm proud of that. And a lot of, you know, Pigs Band, you don't sing too much.
Why do you feel that blues is important in bluegrass? I'm assuming that.
Well,
you think
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know why it's important. But only thing I know is that bluegrass is all bluegrass is fast blues, and I love blues. All right, Bill Monroe, I worked with him on three different stretches. Bill Monroe likes blues too.
54, 58, and what else?
And 61.
61.
61, I worked with him 8 months. 54, 3 days. 58, I worked with him 7 days. Just a tour, was all I done. And I quit and went back to my partner. To my partner, see. He asked me to go back with him regularly then, but I didn't do it.
Joe
Stone. Yeah. Okay, but in 61, then I went back with him regularly.
Could you tell me who was in that band when you were with them the first, second, and third times?
The first time, it was Bobby Hicks, played fiddle. Bobby Hicks and I believe the man's name was Charlie Klein, played with Bobby, played twin fiddle.
Yeah, that's right. They were just about to do the triple fiddle thing.
Yes, sir. That's right. I took Hubert Davis's place.
Red Taylor was with them, too?
I don't know who the other people was. It was Bill Monroe, myself, Bobby Hicks, and Klein.
Okay.
All right, after that, whoever else was with him, I don't remember who was with him.
Okay.
Because it's been a long time. All right, 58, when I was with him. It was me, Bobby Smith on guitar, and
the Shiloh Boys.
Well, it was Bobby Smith at the time.
Yeah.
And, there was a boy that was with him, I can't think of the boy's name, that played with Charlie Monroe back when I worked with Charlie too back in 56. And the same boy played the mandolin and stuff with Charlie, played fiddle with Bill then a while. He didn't stay with him long. Then when I went back with him in 61, that man was still with, well, he hadn't played with Bill all the time, but he called him back in. But the boy couldn't really carry his part like he should. So Bill got rid of him and called Vassar in 61. All right, well, before Vassar, though, it was Billy Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Baker, Bessie Maldine, Bobby Smith, and myself and Bill. Everybody's name started with a B at that time. Okay. Billy didn't stay with us long. And after Billy left, he called Vassar, and Vassar met us and played with us the rest of the time as I was with Bill.
Hmm.
And at that time it was Bill, Bessie, Vassar, Bobby Smith, and myself.
Did Vassar change the sound of the Bluegrass Boys at all? Of course.
Well, at that time he didn't, because Bill wouldn't let him. See.
Was he capable of doing Vassar stuff?
Oh yes, sir.
Now?
He built. He played. He was like myself with the banjo. He played a lot of blues on the fiddle at that time.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff.
And people ask him when we were together then why he didn't let Vassar fiddle like Vassar could fiddle. But Bill said he didn't want that. He wanted it to sound like his record, you know. So
yes,
that's the way Vassar. I played like Bill wanted me to play. Vassar played like. Bill wanted him to play. Of course, Bill let me do a lot of blues, and he loved it in our stuff at that time. In fact, we played Bean Blossom, and the next time they went back, I didn't go back, see, because I had a daughter that was born when I was with Bill, and in fact, his name was on her birth certificate. And the people up there, Bobby Smith, told me, was wanting to know where that man was to play that funny banjo, because I played that blues behind Bill. And Bill let me do that, and I'm proud of that. And but anyway, Bill wants his records, really, his personal appearances to sound like his records. And a lot of times you have to sort of go along with that.
Did Bill ever mention anything about String Bean and the transformation of the sound when Earl Scruggs took over?
No, sir, he didn't. he didn't mention it, but I've read since then that Strang, you know, Strang was really good in his own right, his way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he didn't fit the bluegrass boys that much, to my understanding. And